And that I know I shared a little bit earlier, and that before I left on August the 4th, but I just want to say it publicly again. Your hands and feet, this team, represented Rockcliffe amazing. They represented you with such honor and grace. They represented you with such strength. And that as we went into the communities, we went into the areas to pray for people, into the homes. It didn't matter if it was Abby. It didn't matter if it was Cassie or Christina or Georgia or Ella or whoever it was. There was an anticipation that the moment that they put hands upon them, that something was going to happen. And that God is so real. He's not confined to just men. He's not confined to just women. But God works in that through the youngest to the oldest. God is at work all the time, and he's just looking for people that are willing to allow him to be revealed. Would you let him be revealed today? Amen? So as you hear the testimonies, remember, all of these are because of your prayers. And because of some of the support some of you gave to some of the team and to help them, or to the whole project that we went and we blessed the church down there, they said, hey, and that we said, how much is it going to cost you to renovate this new place that you're going to go into? And did it need renovations? Yeah. You can see that. So they said it would be about $2,000 US, and we were able to give them pretty much half of that. And that because of your generosity. And so we basically could match dollar for dollar with their church as they raise the rest. And that to be able to get all the things done in their prayer is that by September, the first week or two of September, they're going to be full running into that place and be able to start to reach out to their community. Amen? Oh man, it's so much better when we do life together. Life is too hard on our own. It can feel boring. It can feel difficult. It can feel overwhelming. But the moment you start linking with others, the moment you come around and you start spurring and lifting each other up, then all of a sudden it comes a spring back in your step. If you're missing your spring, I just encourage you, come a little closer. Draw in a little closer. Don't let something throw you off. Don't let something cut in on you and that to pull you away from what God would have for your life. So I'm going to start over here and that with Georgia. And that I know Georgia shared a little bit the other day, but she's going to share just a little bit of what God was doing.
Yeah, the last time I was speaking for the whole team, this time I'll just give you a couple of things that were kind of special to me. Actually, a year ago, before we went to Mexico, Pastor Phil had asked me to prepare something to speak to a ladies' meeting. And it didn't end up, actually, that that was worked out. But as I was praying about what I should speak about, sitting in a chair right there, or a pew at that time, the word suffering came into my mind, like loud and clear. And I thought, oh, I wonder why that. I didn't know anything about the people there or what they, you know, what the church was like, what the people had been going through, but when I did go down last year, I learned a lot about their lives. Catalina had been a stronghold for the cartel, and the government was clamping down on them, bringing lots of police forces in, and they were retaliating by grabbing people and killing them, basically. Some of them just disappeared, and they never were seen again by their families. And some of the people in the church had this experience. There was also a young woman there that had just had a miscarriage, and she was very despondent. There were people that were having trouble in their homes, in their marriages, people that were having financial troubles. So when I got to know them, I realized why God had given me that word, suffering. So this year, I did have a chance to speak to a women's Bible study, and I was told that the lady actually that we stayed with last year was conducting this Bible study, and there'd probably be 7, 8, 10 people maybe come to it. So when I got there, I think were about 35 people. It was just full. And of course, I speak English and not very much Spanish at all, and so I had to have a translator. So, but God gave me a peace and a confidence as I relayed the message to them that he had given to me why Christians suffer and how to respond to that. And afterwards, I had so many comments from the women that it had really spoken to them and helped them. So that was kind of special to me that I was able to give God's word to them to help them. Another thing that was really special, we were staying, do you remember Natalie from, she's been here for, 3 months? A while ago. And we stayed actually in her parents' home. And they fixed up a whole room, especially just for me, right beside a bathroom too, which is great at night. And so it was really special getting to know them more and being in their home and participating in their family. But they were, they announced that there was going to be a baptismal service. We went out to the country to some a church member that had a pool, and Pastor Phil was conducting the baptisms. I didn't know when we went who was being baptized. Apparently there were supposed to be 6 people being baptized, and a couple of them didn't show up. But first, Pastor Phil gave a message about what baptism was all about, and then he asked who was going to be baptized today. And I found out then that it had been planned that Seth, the missionary's son, and Natalie, who had been here, his girlfriend, but also both of his parents put up their hand because of the message that the pastor, they're fairly new Christians, and they, I guess after hearing Pastor Phil's message, they also wanted to be baptized. So it was really special. It was a real privilege to see basically that family being baptized together. And he baptized the parents first, and then when he was baptizing Natalie, he called the father up to help with that baptism. So that was just another special moment for me there down in Mexico. Who's next?
And that just before Christina shares, and that you can hand over, I just want to say on that nugget, if you didn't catch that part, God gave her a word last year when we went to speak to the ladies, because I had said to her, again, whenever you go on missions, there's one word, I'll get the team to echo it, you need to be flexible. And so we said, there's an might be an opportunity to speak to the ladies. And God put it on my heart to ask Georgia if she would be the one that would speak and that and release God's word. So she planned and prepared, and the opportunity didn't come up last year. It just wasn't an opportunity for that. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about it, and it's like, wow, that, you know, like I knew God kind of put it in my heart. I wrote and prepared this word, but she said, okay, well, you know, I guess that opportunity didn't come. And then this year as we go down, there was no might be an opportunity. It wasn't in the works. And then as we're down there, they said, hey, we want you to do something for the men. Well, maybe we could do something for the ladies too. And so I asked Georgia, I said, Georgia, do you think you'd be up to speak? She says, just so happens I brought my message from last year. And it was the right season for that to get released. So I just want to say this. Sometimes God will put something in your heart, parents, or in your heart for while you're at work, or in your heart at some time, and you'll get excited about it, and you want to tell everyone about it right then and there. But knowing what God wants you to say or do is one thing, but knowing the timing is another. Because when you release it at the right time, the effectiveness is perfect. Because the hearts are prepared for it. So don't be anxious about anything. But in prayer and petition, bring before the Lord and trust that he's ordering your steps. Amen? So I just encourage you with that little note. Christina.
Good morning, church family. Morning. That's what we are. We're family. So that's what... why I'm saying this, because that's what I love about missions, short-term missions. Long-term missions is us. When we come home, this is our mission field. the day by day. And I always said, every mission trip I've gone on, I always tell them when we're driving home, I said, the hardest mission field is the mission field at home and doing the day by day and not forgetting that we are on a mission to bring people to know Jesus and the lost to come home. And so that's what I love about short term, though, is the fact that we get to be family and we get to bond together and we get to know each other, sometimes a little much, but that's okay. We've had some great fun times and just ministering the Lord together and that. And so that's what I love about short-term missions is you just get to really know your church family even better. And but not only just in better and having laughs and having fun and knowing the personal things in their lives and that to rejoice with or to pray for, but it's to use our giftings together and finding out our spiritual giftings where it talks about that in Corinthians, where some might be teachers or some might be apostles, some might be, you know, an encourager. So sometimes when that's what I love about it. You really get to, especially if you go with Pastor Phil, I tell you, he will put you, he believes the best of you and believes everything that God can do in you, and he will gently push you out into that spot that he knows God's saying. So that's awesome. So I just want to say, church family, it's good to be home, and it's good to be doing this long-term mission. So when you leave these doors and you go out these doors, you say, I am on a mission field. So all I can say is I really thoroughly enjoy it because we get to bond even more closer together that when we get home. For an example, and I'm going to try to keep it short here. When people are up praying and stuff, now I know their giftings. I know different things that God has placed in their lives when we've been doing missions together. So I'm like, I'm praying for this person. I'm like, oh my goodness, so-and-so has this gift that on the mission trip. I'm going to grab them and I'm going to get them to pray for them because this is their gifting. So that's what makes it so phenomenal. And we had an awesome, awesome time. And God even made the weather not too hot. Thank you, Jesus.
Except for 2 days. 45 degrees both Sundays, but that's okay. Just before I forget, if you have a chance this week, read Luke 12. It's an amazing chapter in the Bible. And one of the verses that stands out, it says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Not to store up things on this earth, but to store up things in heaven. I knew I was going to do this. When you go on short-term mission and you see the power of God, the grace and love of God, when you allow that to flow through you to those who you're ministering to, there's nothing like it. You can have $1 million in the bank and it's worthless. So store up your treasures in heaven, not here on earth. And I honestly believe that every believer should go on a short-term mission trip because it'll change you for the rest of your life. But I'm going to go in a little different direction this morning because for the last 7 or 10 days, it's just been on my heart that I should share this, and it really has nothing to do with me and the stories that I could tell from the missions trip. But I want to say thank you to Pastor Phil for the kind words that he shared at the beginning, and we receive those words as a team, but all praise and honor and glory goes to our Heavenly Father, our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, because without them, we'd be useless. I've always been a fan of Pastor Phil. I was on the search committee when he came, and we voted him here as a pastor. He does so many things here behind the scenes that nobody knows about and doesn't receive credit for it, but I got to tell you, my Philometer, it busted on the mission trip. It just went, like if it was at 8 or 9, it just went around and around and around, and it's not stopped. He's an amazing man. He's an amazing pastor. and he's just full of the Spirit. Right from the beginning to end, he's a tireless, ever-ready bunny. He doesn't stop until his head hits the pillow. But the amazing thing about it is, no matter whether it's eating time, whether it's enjoyment or relaxation time, or whether it's in a service or a house meeting, this man always has his ear tuned to the Spirit of God. And what I've seen and heard God do through this man was an absolute eye-opener. Pastor Phil, you are a man of honor, a man of integrity, and so full of the Spirit. And I'm so grateful to be part of this church and to be part of this team that went to Mexico with you. I'll just share one thing about me, and then I'll stop. When the Mexico mission trip came up, it was my daughter who said, I want to go on this mission trip. And of course, as parents, it's always, oh my goodness, she's 16 years old, Mexico, yikes. So my wife graciously said she could go if one of the parents went, and so I got voluntold I was the parent that was going to go. And that was fine. I had no problem with that because, man, we were driving for 36 hours there and 36 hours back, and I was ready. I was ready to go. I was all in. And then about a week before, maybe a few days, it got changed and we were flying. And I think when Pastor Phil told me that, he saw my jaw hit the floor. Because I got to be honest with you, church, I had a fear of flying. I have never flown in my life. I had no desire to fly. I never wanted to fly. When flying is mentioned to me, I picture barreling down in a ball of fire and hitting the ground and bursting. I'm serious. This had control over my life. I shared a scripture in Mexico that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Well, when you have fear, you're robbed of the power, you're robbed of the love, and you're robbed of a sound mind. My family, my wife, my son, and my daughter had an opportunity, well, I did too, but I didn't go, and that's why, to go to Wales and England in 2012. And you don't get to England unless you fly or you got a paddle boat. So I refused to go. I was not getting on an airplane. That fear gripped me so much that it robbed me of the power of making the right decision and going with them. It robbed me of showing them that I loved them so much that I would get on the plane and go with them. And it robbed me of the sound mind of, my goodness, all I could picture was a crash. And I'm not getting on that plane. There's no way. So they went without me, which I regret to this day. But I want to share something. There's two times in my life that I've been afraid of something so much that it gripped me. The first time when I was told I was losing my job and I wasn't going to be able to support my family. Within a few hours, a couple of days, I can't remember, but the peace of God just came over me and it, the voice inside just said, what are you worried about? I got you. And to this day, I have never, ever worried one minute about my employment, whatever. It's just whatever will be. So after Pastor Phil had said, we can get these cheap tickets and we can fly, he was like, oh my goodness. Again, the fear was just, and of course, my daughter, being my daughter, just suck it up, Dad. You know. But again, it wasn't long. There was such a peace. She came over to me and said, what are you worried about? I got you. And not for one minute did I think about getting on that plane and what was might happen or whatever. And I got to be honest with you. I drive to Toronto this afternoon and go again. It was amazing. I became a frequent flyer in 11 days. I was on four different airplanes, four different flights in 11 days. Tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor, okay? It wasn't just flying from Toronto to Monterey and Monterey to Toronto. It was Toronto to Houston, Houston to Monterey, Monterey to Chicago, Chicago to Toronto. And I experienced almost everything. Very fast landings where you really went forward in your seat really fast. Turbulence, like, I didn't know. I mean, I knew there was turbulence, but oh my goodness. Coming into Monterey through the mountains, it was just like the plane was dancing. And I'm looking around, is this normal? And everybody seems to be okay. And so I thought, okay, it's fine. It's all good. You know, nobody's panicking. No, lights aren't flashing. Sirens aren't going off. We're all good. And then when we get off the plane, I said to Pastor Phil, I said, like, okay, that was kind of bumpy. He goes, yeah, he says, I've flown quite a few times, and that was probably one of the worst turbulences I've been in. I said, well, that's okay. I've done it now. It's great. It's no problem. But God is so good. And like I said, just a reminder, read Luke 12 and let the Spirit speak to you because it'll change your life. And I've talked long enough.
Amen. And that... Abby's leaning over to me and, you know, Dave says, yeah, I was looking around at that turbulence when it was going to make sure everyone was smiling okay. And Abby's like, I wasn't okay. I was in the toilet bouncing around and that as that turbulence kicked off on her. And so, but on that part is if I bring Holy Spirit interpretation for a quick second here, so we just pause. Allison, if you plan that trip to Wales, he'll go now. And he'll go now. He'll go now. And that, but so thankful, so thankful. Krista?
Okay, so there's so much that, like, it boggles my mind. It overwhelms me to know what to share. But the one thing that came to my mind when I was thinking about what I would share is, a few days, maybe even a week or so before, I had mentioned to Christina, I said, there are two songs that I know are to go to Mexico. One, my daughter will share in her story. And the other was No Longer Slaves that we sang today. So I thought, okay, I'll just tuck that in the back of my mind and away we go. So the first Sunday we were in church, after service, you know, there was a line of people that wanted prayer. And the second lady... we were praying for, and I was hearing Pastor Phil speaking about her needing to cut off what people think and all the negativity and all that stuff that's holding her captive. So I stayed with her for a bit and just prayed over her, and then she turned around and she was crying and she hugged me. We just stood there and hugged for a little while, and I thought, okay, you know, I had a little bit of a feeling, but I just thought, no, I'm just going to leave that. That, you know, we'll see. So then later that night, we went to Lila's house, and that's when we got our shirts, and that's why I'm wearing this, and the other girls are. We got our shirts, and we decided what area of the VBS we were going to be helping in. So I decided to work to be a leader of the age 4, 5, and 6 kids, and to help take them around to the different things. So Monday morning, we show up, and this lady is in my group. And so I thought, okay, there's another little prompting there, but I'm going to just leave it and just tuck it behind, you know, and just, you know, have it in memory just in case. So I just let it sit there. And then that week went on, and through hand gestures and trying to play charades, and the odd time an interpreter that was around was able to help you communicate with one another, because there was no Wi-Fi that we could use our phones for translation. So I got to know her and there was just a connection there. I knew from the hug, but then to see her in my group was just another confirmation. So that week went by. And then the Friday night, we were invited out to the village that there was a bus with a bunch of kids that came to the camp from a village about 20 minutes, half hour away. And so it turns out that this house that we went to was this Alicia's. It was Alicia's house. And so then I knew, and I told her, I said, you know, I have a song for you, and it's no longer Slaves. So I had that confirmation that that was for her, and there was a reason why the Lord put that song and another one in my heart to take to Mexico. So, I mean, there's so much more I could share, but everybody else would say the same thing. So I will pass that on. That was just kind of confirmation to me that, yes, I did hear the Lord. And before we even left, I had those songs in my heart. And Holy Spirit knew that they were going to be released over somebody or many people in Mexico.
She's also being very modest, because when it came time to the altar, she was one of the first there and last to leave. And I'm just so thankful for your tenderness. Been through tough times, right? And our brokenness and that. Sometimes we can feel like we've lost too many pieces and everything else, but obviously God's reminding you that in your tenderness and in that broken part of you, he worked very much beauty in many people. And so very thankful for that. Cass. Hey, there's a bat. Pastor Nathan.
Oh, okay.
Well, this is our entertainment, and that sound guys, they like you, okay? Go up and see the sound guys. And that yeah. I don't think we're going to catch him right now, but we'll just keep an eye on him. How's that? And if you feel something land on you, just know that it's God's loving hand upon you.
All right. Okay, it's gone.
There, just close the door, guys. Just close the door. Ron, can you close that door? There, all fear has left the sanctuary now, so all those that left and ran out, now they're stuck. Now they're stuck with them out there. Not all. You don't want to run out when... Okay, anyways, Cassie.
All right, okay. Okay, so I'm just going to share like one thing that's been on my mind since I've got back. So the VBS, I found that it was just a light from God for like the kids that they could like take home. A lot of the families that came and like their kids, they had like no idea who Jesus was, and their parents never went to church. And so something that I just thought, that the camp was a light that Jesus put for us to show them, and then they could go home and show their parents, and we just have to pray and trust that Jesus will like, their parents will see the light on them, and then they can like take that, because I just thought like it's just a big light, and that's just like the one chance we get that we try so hard, and then after that we just have to pray and trust that God will show their parents, and then they can come to church.
And could you share maybe one little nugget about the word that God was placing in your heart that you might have shared?
No.
Just even just a fraction of it? Okay, you'll save that for another time.
Can I just say one more thing?
Okay.
Sorry. I'm not going to microphone hog. The one thing, yes, there was a lot of getting to know one another, a lot. Sometimes it was too much, as Dave will attest to. Anyways, the one big thing that I saw in VBS, in praying, in church, whatever, was that there is no boundary for God's love. No geographical boundary. There's no language barrier that can keep God's love from shining through and from just connecting with other people, whether they understand your language or not. So God's love is just, there's no bounds.
Okay, I'll first like start off by saying the VBS is amazing and the kids there were great. And it was great because Abby and I were doing dance for a bit. So it was amazing to be up at the front and watching everyone have like smiles on their faces and just up and dancing. But the Friday night, Before we went to Alicia's house, we went to the house of a little girl who had cancer. And we were all sitting in our house, and we were praying for her. And immediately a song popped into my mind, and the song was, "I Raise a Hallelujah." I didn't say anything until later that night. I told my mom and said that that was the song that popped into my mind. And the next day, we were on our way to the mountains, and the song came on someone's phone, and I said that that night I had heard that song pop into my mind. And then Pastor Phil said that he had the same song pop into his mind, and so did Abby. So then we all just started singing along, and it was amazing. And I really regret not being able to sing it that night, but yeah.
Well, I just have to start with, camp was amazing, even from last year. All the kids, like, they don't really argue or anything. Yeah, and like here we have so much drama and everything, so but you know. Yeah. And so
Michael.
What? Oh, okay. Also, before we went to the people's house, we went to the girl that had cancer, and she was at camp last year, and I did the dances, and she, we were praying for her and everything. She was kind of like scared to come out and stuff. She didn't really want to see anyone. But then after a while, she came out, and she started, like, me and her started to make eye contact, and then I think my dad or Jody, because she wasn't hit there, but one of the translators asked her if they remembered anyone. She said no, but then after a while, she said that she remembered me and I think Seth and Natalie, yeah. And she didn't remember anyone else, so I thought that was special. But then she went on an airplane to Mexico City, yeah. And because the doctors in Catarata or around Monterrey and stuff said that they couldn't do anything to help her. So one of the doctors in Mexico City said that they could, but she ended up passing away. So, yeah. And I went to church the first day or second or first time we went. And this guy came up for prayer because he had problems with his kidney. And I was standing behind him, and I put my hands on him. And there's, I think, Ella and a few other people were praying for him, too. And after, he said who was standing behind me. And Dave said that I was. And he said that he just felt heat to his kidneys, and he felt a lot better. And the next day at camp, he came and told me that he was a lot, like, a lot better. So I thought that was nice.
God moves in mysterious ways, and that no one is too young to see the power of God to flow, right? When we come to Jesus, we don't get baby Jesus, and then as we grow up, we get teenager Jesus, and then we get full-grown Jesus when we behave and we're okay. But no, right from the very beginning, the moment you open your heart to the Lord, you get all of Jesus, all of Holy Spirit, you get everything. And when we allow him to flow in our lives, then it doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter what giftings we think we are. It doesn't matter if we feel like we're broken and we've gone through some difficulties. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter how big the mountain is in front of us, as long as we remember how big he is. Right? And I just really encourage you, you know, this is your team. This is your hands and feet that went to Mexico. And I really, honestly, I say to you, they made you proud. They did well. And that the church down there, they actually feel that everyone in Canada is on fire for God. And that, so in Jesus' name, we just say amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, we need God. We need God here. But they represented the church well, and I am so thankful for what God has done in their heart. There's so many more things to share, and Dave's going to share one more.
Just because.
because it's on. Just because it's along the same line as what he said, don't think that the 10 days that we're there or the 11 days that we're there are come and gone, because they're not. We were in a youth gathering in a house on the last Sunday night. We were there. We were a youth gathering. And when it was all over, we were having pizza and pop. Oh, my goodness, pop. Anyways, that's another story. I walked over towards the entrance of the door, and there was a collage of pictures hanging on the wall, and oh my goodness, I saw my nephew and my great-nephew and my great-niece hanging in these collages of pictures of the team that went last year, and the family had put their pictures up on the wall. That's honor, respect, and love that's gone both ways from that house and from the team that was there last year. So don't think for 1 minute that the 10 days are here and gone. It lasts.
Amen. Amen. Cassie, did you want to say something else? Sorry, I bug Cassie all the time in that. There's so much inside of you. So much inside of you. And I'm just so thankful that you came. And I'm so thankful for the days ahead and what God's going to do, and that just continue to show you just the greatness of Him inside of you. And that I'm so thankful, and that to be back and just be excited just to be together. And I just really wanted just a snippet. This was a way to show a snippet. Next week, we've got a video and pictures and stuff that we'll show that give you a little bit more of a snapshot of some of the people and events and things that took place. But really, in all honesty, we ran a camp, a sports camp for kids, but most of the time, and that was spent on just hearing Holy Spirit and looking for opportunity to release Holy Spirit. And it was in homes, it was at pools, it was in grocery stores, it was all over. And what I shared to the team before, I'll share again to them, is that's not only God is in Mexico, but the same God is here. And so I encourage you in your own homes, and that in your friends' homes, at work, and at the restaurants, and everything else, same idea, just let Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit, what do you got? What do you want to say? What do you want to do? Whether you're at school, or at work, or at home, whatever it might be, and I just encourage each and every one, it's that simple. And that was the biggest message we shared in Mexico, and it's a big message that we share here all the time, is it's not hard to hear from God. It's not. It's not a difficult thing. Anyone that is a believer in Christ can hear God. He says, my sheep know my voice. So don't think that this wasn't the best of the best of Rockcliffe. I wasn't the best of Rockcliffe. And that there's many here that know the Bible better than me. And there's many here that are gifted in many ways that are maybe better than some of us. It was just this round, this is what God chose. And so I'm so thankful for them. I'm so thankful for you. And I just really encourage you to open your ears and open your hearts, and that to what God would want to do in your life and through, realizing that God is much bigger than your circumstance. I can't stress that enough. He's bigger than your circumstance. So don't get caught up in your circumstance and think, I can't, whether it be age or finances or something else. God performed miracle after miracle to open the doors, and that for these individuals to be able to go, and that God will open miracle after miracle for you to reach your unsaved loved one, to reach that person at work, and that to move heaven and earth as you go to pray for someone that's sick and you see them recover. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? What does it profit someone to get a healing but yet lose their soul? So there's got to be more than just making us aches and pains go away and make us feel good so we could do all the things that we want to do. But every time we lay hands upon someone, it's an opportunity to release the glory of God that they will understand, and we will understand just how big our God is, and He is worthy of us surrendering our life, and that picking up our cross, denying ourselves, and following Him. Amen? And that He's still thinking about you. And you know how I know that is because you're still breathing. That's how I know He's thinking about you. And so I really encourage you, if you know He's thinking about you, then He still has plans for your life. Amen? So look for them. Look for the opportunities. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, look for an opportunity to release the glory of God. Let's let that light shine before men, that they will see our good deeds and they will glorify the Lord. Amen. Let's shine bright for him. Jesus, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, God, for all that you have done. Lord, as we stretch our hands towards this team, can we just do that, church? Stretch our hands towards them. And that, thank you, Jesus. God, Lord, we just release right now, Lord, all of your goodness, Lord. You said, Lord, we cannot outgive you. So right now, Lord, for these individuals and their families that are represented with them, Lord, we just release your goodness in them right now. And we just ask, Lord, that you who began a good work, you would complete it, Lord, I pray. God, Lord, that you would continue to stir in their heart. You would remind them, Lord, of the things that you have done in their lives and through them. And there's no special touch in Mexico and not here. But God, that you are awakening their soul, awakening their spirit to even greater things. And so, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, for each and every one of us. You said we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. So through the testimony shared today of releasing your glory, Lord, may we cling to the cross and realize that we are overcomers. There is nothing that we would face. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And so encourage each and every one. Bless each and every one and overwhelm them, Lord, with your goodness. And Lord, for Point of Grace Church in Mexico, we pray for them and we release your goodness upon them. Lord, as they're in transition, moving out of one place and into another, God, Lord, may it spring new life for them, Lord. God, Lord, as they reach into their community and they be that beacon of hope and a beacon of light, Lord, into the dark world that is around us that is in so desperate need of just hearing about your love and your grace and your mercy. And so we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And we just bless each and every one, Lord, as we go into the gym for a potluck, Lord. God, Lord, may you just encourage us and build our fellowship closer and closer together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I encourage you as we head, if you don't have to go, you say, well, I didn't bring anything, it's okay. We pray for multiplication and that all the time for the food. So we encourage you to come and the team will be in there and grab a hold of them and they've got more stories to share and just ask them to share a little bit with you. God bless you. We love you lots and we'll see you tonight at our prayer summit and that's our corporate prayer time as we pray for the needs that God has placed not only in our body but in our community. God bless you. Love you lots.